Hey everybody, you're listening to All Clear, the show that helps firefighters maximize their potential physically, mentally, and professionally while having fun along the way. I'm Travis McGahey, your host. Over there is my co-host, Eric Stevenson. Settle in, grab a snack, and let's go.
Hey, good to see you again, Eric. We're getting this technology thing figured out, I think. So anyway, just to kind of follow up, you know, where we were last time, it's been a little bit of a bumpy road. I know it's been a few minutes since we put out our last podcast, but I think we got our ducks in a row now. So last time we talked about who you guys are at the Peer Support Network. So I maybe a question or two for me. Maybe that would be appropriate so we can make people realize we're not weird over here either.
Sure. Yeah, I think that would be a good starting place. So why don't you tell us a little bit about the Cancer Alliance, how it got started, when it got started, and what your affiliation with the organization is?
Okay. Well, currently I am on the executive board. I work with specifically with educational programming and also with outreach. I also am officially listed as one of the co-founders. Sometimes that feels like a heavy thing to carry, but you know, some other really great guys have helped make this thing happen. So when I say I, there's we's and us's in there, so it's really complicated sometimes. But basically, we were born out of the Midwinter Chiefs Conference from the North Carolina Association of Fire Chiefs meeting that they have in Concord, North Carolina every year. And back in 2017, we became incorporated, received our 501c3 status, and set up our organization, which focuses on education, peer support, and then also we're working toward documentation and providing different resources to smaller departments and larger departments too, so that they can set up their own cancer reduction programs.
Very nice. That's super important information that needs to be out there to every department, every organization. What cool things have you got coming up here in the near future? Any projects that you're working on?
Well, we've got a few things that we're mid-swing on, so to speak. We've got our RIT pack, which is our thumb drive that is for peer support for cancer diagnosis patients, also for their families. Has lots of important resources to make sure that they're covering all their bases. In fact, I know you were involved in that project a little bit. Yeah. We're still working with that. We're also working on our Blue Ridge grant right now. We're getting applications pulled in for it. We're going to be offering three $1,500 awards for Western, Central, and Eastern parts of North Carolina to help, underpaid or underprivileged departments to be able to have a little bit more money to do screenings and take care of all that important health-related stuff. But apart from that, we're still working on the software that we received our grant for. That's something that it is Firefighter Connect HQ. It's on Android and app stores. So all that stuff is still going, but I'm really excited about our new Fire Within program, and I'm pretty sure you're going to talk a little bit about that too, because we're partnering up on that one. We have kind of understood that, if you're not careful, cancer can become a one-trick pony, for lack of a better term. And our organization is, we don't believe in tricks in the first place. We're all business when it comes to it. But the biggest thing that we're shooting for is to look at the overall wellness of a firefighter. And I think you and I have discussed kind of offline the fact that it's not just cancer, it's not just cardiac, but it's everything from what you eat to how much you sleep to your mental health and wellness, right?
Absolutely. The non-job related stress that an individual can encounter throughout the day, the week, the month, whatever else, can affect us on the job just as much as it does off the job. And those stressors can affect us both physically and mentally. And if we're not taking that holistic approach, the all-encompassing approach of taking care of ourselves, it can lead to some bad things for us throughout our careers. So yeah, I'm pretty excited about this.
Yeah, no doubt. And you know, one of the things that has always bothered me is that, and I'm sure you know this too, the fire service tends to be very reactive as opposed to proactive. And it seems like every year, every 5 years or so, there's a cycle where what's killing us right now? You know, it was cardiac a couple years ago, then it was cancer. Now we're dealing with mental health and wellness. Yes, all of these are things that affect firefighters without a doubt. But we've already rolled past cardiac, it seems like. I mean, they still talk about it, but it's not the big thing anymore like it was. And cancer has kind of disappeared off the radar a little bit. So what I'm trying to help people understand is we don't live in a cycle. It's all the things all the time, so to speak. So I don't ever want to devalue any one thing, but you know, from our perspective, you know, if you look at, you know, trying to recover from a cancer diagnosis, yes, you're physically sick. But at the same time, if your mind isn't good, your recovery won't be good. If your family's emotional condition isn't strong, then you may not have the support you need. And having cancer stinks. There's no long or short about it. I mean, it's just bad, whether it be physically, mentally, whatever the case is. And we've got to stop that cycle. And, you know, sometimes it's looking at it as a whole. And that's something that we've come to really appreciate in the last year or so.
Very cool. Yeah. That's hitting it right on the head. You know, you've got to have the support system. You have to be mentally prepared for these battles, and you compare it to being on the job. You know, we've got to be mentally and physically prepared to be able to do the job, and we have these stressors or these diagnoses that we encounter, you know, along the way. If we're not prepared up front to be able to how to handle those situations, you can only imagine what the outcome is going to be.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting that you talk about that, how far the attitude helps. Met a guy that I work with, not necessarily at the Concord department where I am professionally, but he's at a nearby entity. And we were talking, and he said, yeah, I've got to go to the hospital this afternoon. I was like, oh, well, you going to visit? And he said, no, I've got my cancer treatment this afternoon. I was like, do what? Because he's, you know, the healthy, good eating, always working out, you know, super healthy, very muscular. And he said, no, I've got esophageal cancer. I've got stomach cancer. It spread to my ribs. And he told me how many feet of colon that he's had removed. And I'm like, are you kidding me? He's like, no. He said, no, I've had this for years. And, you know, it's in remission right now, he said, but I have to have infusions every, you know, I guess it's like every week or whatever. And totally blew me away because he doesn't talk about it. Everything's positive. And he realizes that as long as he stays positive, it helps push him toward wellness. And so, yes, the mental attitude goes a long way in dealing with any type of condition, whether it be cancer or whatever the case is.
And that's awesome to hear. And that just brought something back into my brain that I heard actually one of my counselors tell me while I was going through my struggles, and I was actually in a treatment center trying to get my mental health under control a little bit better. And that mindset, he told me one afternoon that your mind resembles what it pays attention to. And if you're constantly negative or you focus on the negative, your whole persona is going to reflect that. And you're not going to have a whole lot of positive results if all you're focusing on is the negatives. And if you can get that cognitive shift to be on the more positive side, the outcomes are going to be more positive, and we're going to be focusing on looking at the positives instead of concentrating on that one negative connotation of, man, I've had this diagnosis, or I do have this diagnosis, I'm going through this rough patch right now. So yeah, the mind resembles what we pay attention to. That was the first thing that popped in my mind when you told me about that.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And you know, the other thing, and you know, I myself have not had cancer, but so many of my brothers at work have, and sisters at work, friends, things like that. So it's a real struggle, and I understand that. But you know, I had the privilege of talking with a battalion chief the other day. It's actually been a couple of months ago. I think I shared this with you. He was supposed to be coming to one of our classes, and he's like, "Hey, I can't make it." He said, "Our chief is in hospice, and we're literally going and helping him." And they were very focused on the situation with their chief. And the chief passed away just a couple days later. And when he called me back, he was riddled with, you know, anguish. The other battalion chiefs, everybody in the department was eat up, the family. But here's the one that really took me for a loop. The fact it was a small community. The community was grieving over the loss of the fire chief. And I know, granted, they may not be the ones riding the trucks or, you know, be there shoulder to shoulder with us. But whenever a firefighter is sick, it impacts the community around them, potentially, particularly in smaller areas, and it can, you know, impact a big crater around wherever it happens. But really helps to see why education for folks knowing how to handle that is very important.
Yes, absolutely. And when you see unfortunate things happen like that, you don't necessarily understand the impact that somebody might have had on a community or on a group of individuals until something like that takes place. And then the position where we are really brings things to the forefront of the importance of the community outreach that we might be doing with our programs, of taking care of the public, letting them know who we are, what we do, services that we offer. And then that's another avenue for us to be able to step into when we do see the community that is grieving or struggling through a difficult time, that, hey, we might be that little piece of hope that they need that day to be able to get through. And is there anything that we can do to get out there and try to help them?
Yeah, no doubt, no doubt. And, you know, you and I have had the privilege of co-teaching before, where we were teaching the leadership aspect of this as well. And, you know, that's something that is, I think, frequently overlooked. We have all types of executive officer schools and fire officer 1, 2, 3, 4, and just all types of certifications you can get. But when I talk to battalion chiefs and even company officers, one of the things that they say that they lack is training in how to deal with difficult conversations, how to talk about those things. What if somebody comes to me and says, "Hey, chief, I'm sick." I mean, what do you do? How do you handle it? And, you know, we pilot tested one of those programs through Cape Fear Community College. And I think it had pretty good reception. You were actually there in person. I was doing it remotely. But do you think that those types of conversations still have value or are increasing in value now?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I'm still a strong believer that that needs to be emphasized a little bit more in these leadership programs. You know, not necessarily on the admin stuff and how to file paperwork and reports and, you know, disciplinary action. It's how can you be a good human being? You know, how can, if you say that you have an open door policy, for example, what does that truly mean? And when you do have that knock on the door, are you going to be able to sit there and truly give that person undivided attention, listen empathetically, and be able to be there to support them? And the awkward questions, they are difficult. You know, when I was still on the job, you know, as a company officer, fielding those, yeah, it was strange. It was difficult. but learning how to be a good active listener, learning how to actually truly hear and understand what is being asked or what is being spoken by that other person, and knowing how to formulate a positive response. Those are key qualities to me of what makes a good company officer. Sure. And a lot of that comes down to morals and ethics, you know, the way a person was raised or brought up in a particular field of work, you know, in our line of work at the fire service. But not everybody has those traits and those qualities. And unfortunately, that can put people in awkward situations, and you just kind of, I know I've sat there with a blank look on my face before after asking a particular question. It's like, you know, that weird, you know, awkward pause sometimes. But yeah, the emphasis on that of, you know, how do you field those awkward questions? I teach fire officer classes, and I always run them through scenarios of real world things that I've encountered as a fire officer on the job, you know, whether it be in a tough question, or somebody coming in saying that they're going through a separation, or they have had a potential life altering medical condition, you know, just brought to their attention. And you just see how people react, and it's like, whoa, I didn't know as a fire officer that I might have to field these kinds of questions. Well, you don't have to be a fire officer, you know, to be prepared to answer those questions. You have to be a good individual. You know, what would you do if your best friend came up to you and said, "Hey, man, I just got diagnosed with cancer," or, you know, "I just had a relative pass away." How are you going to respond?
And, you know, I think you're hitting a very important point is when you talk about the type of response. I was talking with Joy Ponder, who is one of our board members, and, you know, she is a cancer. I don't like using the word survivor. Hopefully at some point I'll come up with we'll come across somebody that has a better idea than us. But she made the point that don't give false hope. She said the worst thing you can do is, you know, you come and you talk to your chief, "Hey, I've got a problem. You know, I'm going to have to deal with," and the chief first thing he says, "Oh, you'll beat it. We'll get this. We got this. It's all good. We'll take this thing down together." Well, maybe. We hope so. But at the same time, if you're offering false hope, that's usually not good and can be more detrimental. So, yeah, those are definitely things that we all need help on, because I say stupid things all the time. You can just ask my wife or my son. They'll tell you that, or the guys that work for me. But, you know, honestly, I think there's a lot of forward progression in that. I know here in North Carolina, the North Carolina Association of Fire Chiefs, they actually have an executive officer school. And, you know, we've been offered the opportunity to teach this program. We taught a early version of it last year. This year we're going to have the Fire Within program, which I think will be really neat. So hopefully we're going to come at this a little more educated, using the expertise from the folks on your side, and also some of the expertise from all the smarter people than me that I work with. You know, I think it'll come around, but I just encourage everybody to start watching. And the other neat thing is we're going to make it available in a digital format. Boy, the pandemic changed the world on a lot of that stuff. But now we're going to have it available. So if you're in a small department in the corner of North Carolina, just using that because that's home, guess what? You can have access to it. We'll make it available to you. You can play it for training. We'll make ourselves available in person if possible. If we have to do it remotely, we can. So that's kind of what I'm looking forward to, and we'll be announcing more and more about that as we go forward.
So do you want to talk a little bit more about that Fire Within program?
Well, do you think it's okay to mention a little bit? I don't want to give away to the farm yet. You know,
I was going to say we can give a little teaser.
Okay. Besides the fact there'll be really cool challenge coins available, You'll have to find those in person. In August at the South Atlantic Fire Rescue Expo here in North Carolina, we'll be doing the release of that, where we'll have pretty much a full syllabus showing what will be available. We will be teaching it at the Executive Officer School here in North Carolina as well. And then people can contact us. They can ask for it. But the biggest thing that I think that will have a driving impact on this is that it's a holistic approach to dealing with firefighters. You know, we can talk about decontaminating your gear, clean cabs. I can scare you with numbers about cancer, but we're kind of beyond that now. We can talk about it, but we know what to do specifically with that. But we focused on that so much, now we've forgotten the fact that, oh, hey, wait, I need to take care of my heart too. I need to eat better. I need to sleep better. Hey, I need to exercise. And that portion of it, we're going to try to put all the pieces together. And then having the leadership conversations. And Eric, what are you going to be bringing to the table? Because I know you've got a lot to offer as well.
Well, we're going to be talking about the proactive approach to it, you know, and how to implement it and really get the buy-in of showing how important it is and, you know, leading from the front on this, that it is so important to, you know, a lot of people think there's a disconnect between the body and the mind. You know, the body and the mind are all one thing. We're connected from the head all the way down to the toes. And yes, the brain is a weird creature in itself, but being able to incorporate all of it as one and to approach it that way and approach it in a proactive manner instead of a reactive approach to it. You know, the cardiac events, you know, we all know that one of the leading killers in our profession is cardiac related incidents. And, you know, something happens and then it's like, okay, we put it under a microscope and what do we need to do to remedy that? What do we need to do to prevent it from happening in the future? The mental health side of things, the same thing, you know, very reactive instead of proactive of how do we make sure that our people are resilient? How do we build a resiliency program to help them prepare for these incidents beforehand and not just, oh my gosh, we've got somebody that's in the weeds right now because of this. How do we pull them out? Mm-hmm. And how do we prepare them? And how do we get them mentally and physically prepared for the job? And to be able to have a safe, happy, healthy career without having to overcome a whole bunch of obstacles in addition to the obstacles that we see on the job to begin with.
Yeah, let's not make it too safe. You know, we have to have a little bit of danger to make our jobs fun.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. But yeah, I think that's where we need to be headed with these things is the proactive approach to it and encompassing every aspect or as many aspects as we can to make sure that we're going to be good to go.
Well, I think folks could be very pleased with the outcome of what we're working toward. But the great part is people don't just have to listen to me and you, but we know lots of smart people, not necessarily us, but we know lots of smart people that are doctors and mental health and dietitians. And man, we've got a whole gambit of people that we're going to talk to and include on this. So, you know, I appreciate you taking time, Eric, for us to talk a little bit more and try to reintroduce ourselves a little bit. So our goal is to have a new episode dropping every other Friday. You know, I think we've got our technology ironed out now. We're getting some wind in our sails and we'll be ready to roll. Hey, I do have a dad joke I want to share with you because
let's hear it.
That's kind of my thing. You know, my wife said that I'm super cheap, but I'm not buying it. I got some deep ones, but anyway, I figured I'd throw that out to you. You know, got to make everybody laugh a little bit, although that probably made them groan. But anyway, just to tell y'all how to get a hold of us again, I am Travis McGaha. I'm with North Carolina Firefighter Cancer Alliance. You can reach me directly at t.mcgaha@ncfirefightercancer.org. Now, can we get a hold of you, Eric?
Easiest way is through my email address, and that is info@frpsn.org.
All righty. Very good. Well, again, Eric, thank you for your time, and we will talk to you soon.
Thank you.
Have a good day.
You too, brother.
You have been listening to All Clear, presented by the North Carolina Firefighter Cancer Alliance and the First Responder Peer Support Network. Please rate us on your podcasting app of choice. This show is written and produced by Travis McGaha and Eric Stevenson and recorded on Riverside FM. See you soon.